So our message today is don't leave home without it. And I have to tell you right from the start that this message came as a result of an experience I had, a personal experience I had a couple of weeks ago. And it got me to be reflecting on my relationship with God. And of course, really and truly, no matter what we go through, whether we deserve it or not, it really boils down to our relationship with God, how we deal with things that come our way that either bring despondency or heartache, or pasts are sort of brought forward when it's not needed, that kind of thing. So, you know, this message was born from that. And it's going to basically rely mainly on Daniel chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles there, I invite you to turn there. There's other Bible texts, but mainly Daniel chapter 6. And here, who here can tell me what's in Daniel 6 before looking it up? Daniel and the lion's den. All right. So there's a message in Daniel and the lion's den that's for adults too, right? Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for this time that we can spend together in your word. Father, I ask as your weak vessel that you will implant within me words that can only come from your throne of grace. Lord, forgive me of any sins I may have committed that I have not confessed already, for unto the preaching of the word is holy ground. And I ask, Father, that you will see it, that precious souls will hear the message of life today in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the most single, important character trait of one who desires to truly make a difference in the world? It doesn't matter what you're doing. What do you think that would be? Could be a politician. It could be a store owner. It could be, a church member. You know, it could be, someone working at McDonald's. But what do you think the most important character trait is in the entire world? Now, there's lots, I know. Love. Yes. Love. And that's right. But with love comes another big word, integrity. Integrity. Ever hear that word before? Integrity. You know, if I were to ask you a Bible character, I sort of released it already, but I was asking you a Bible character that if you said the word integrity, what character comes to mind? I'm going to say it right from the get-go. Daniel had integrity, right? There's lots of other Bible characters that had integrity. Joseph, yes, absolutely. And, now there's Bible characters that didn't have a lot of integrity either, right? But we're going to focus on a Bible character who did have integrity, and that was Daniel. We should never tire of reading the book of Daniel, because we're admonished to read the book of Daniel, because in it are found words of life that portray what happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future. So, today I'd like to focus on Daniel, and we read that, Daniel was a skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge. Cunning, what's that mean in Old Testament verbiage? It doesn't mean that he's sly or anything like that. It just means that he was acute in understanding things and knowledge in the oracles of God. In other words, he possessed, wonderful knowledge from God. The Bible records that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now, everyone knows here, what would he defile himself with? The king's meat, right? Or rich foods, that kind of thing. But Daniel was committed and he had insight. We discover this in Daniel 2, and we discover it in Daniel chapter 5, when God revealed to him King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, right? And the handwriting on Belshazzar's wall. Drastic occasions for Belshazzar. But yet, some would say he should have known better, right? However, what truly set Daniel apart from the others and enabled him to achieve such incredible success in a pagan world, I'll add, is that the world of Babylon, right, in the world of Babylon, He had integrity. You know, Daniel had actual integrity in the world of Babylon, just a pure pagan culture. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him." Integrity can be defined as the steadfast adherence to a moral or ethical code. It is the state of a quality of being complete. It's actual freedom from corrupting influence or motive. That's the definition of integrity. It speaks of, and the, probably perhaps the biggest word that parallels integrity or defines integrity is consistency. That would be the biggest word, consistency. That is, the word integrity defines someone who is in public what he also is in private, right? It is what causes a witness to tell the truth on the witness stand when no one else knows, right? Integrity is what keeps employees from cheating on overtime hours or expense accounts. Integrity is what keeps us honest on April 30th. Now, that was extended last year, I believe, but April 30th, you know, income tax time. Keeps us honest not to cheat. Integrity is what keeps us faithful to our families, and it keeps us faithful to His people. You know, I have a responsibility to you to have integrity towards you, and I should exude integrity from your eyes, right? I shouldn't go home and be something I'm not and that kind of thing, right? But, you know, the world today is crying out to see men and women of integrity. Many of our recent national leaders, we talked about this morning, right? You know, I'm not going to name anything up front here. We all know. You know, but the political upheavals in the world is largely due to a lack of integrity, you know? Also, we see a generation of leaders pass from one moral crisis to another. I'm going to name a few, see if you can remember them. Watergate. Monica Gate. You remember that one? Email Gate. That's a recent one. Anyone remember that one? Email Gate had, I won't mention any names. If you don't know, just look it up. Email Gate. It's all political anyway. Scandals have been a part of the highest office of the land. In other words, no integrity, right? So what does all this have to do with the familiar story of Daniel and the lion's den? Most who approach this chapter put their entire focus on Daniel's deliverance from the lion's den. After all, it's one of the most familiar stories in the Bible, especially for children. Right? If I were to ask the children here, have you ever heard of Daniel and the lion's den? All of them would say, yeah, sure they have. Yeah, absolutely. Our Sabbath school classes throughout Adventist churches all around the world, some of them would have pictures of Daniel with his head down on the lap of the lion, totally at peace, you know, no problem. That's the story we often hear, which is true, you know, it is true. God shut the lion's mouth, and he was able to have peace in the midst of that trial. But the real message in this chapter has to do with Daniel's conduct, not while in the lion's den, not while in the lion's den, but before he ever got there, right? We talked about faith this morning, you know, that little measure of faith, and, you know, some people have to see it with their eyes or touch it, feel all the senses, right? They have to, you know, visualize it, process it that way in order for before they believe. But Daniel exercised the little measure of faith he had until he grew and grew and grew, until when it got to the point that he was persecuted, and then he, you know, was trapped into this situation, that he had the measure of faith where he can say, hey, you know, God, you love me, I love you, I trust you. And that was it. That was all there was to it for him. The integrity that Daniel exemplifies can be unpacked to four areas of influence. So, just four. I'll try to be as brief as I can. Right? One, you do have a private life with God. Okay? There's a part of you and me where no one else really goes. Not even our husbands, not even our wives, do not know all of our private thoughts. Right, men? Right, ladies? You know, there's a place that you just commune with God in your mind and heart, right? But we not only have a private life with God, we have a personal life and we have a professional life. This is part of the world that is a wider circle and consists of many men and women with whom we come in contact. And finally, we have a public life. What's a public life? Well, a public life would, an example of a public life would be me standing up here sharing a message to you. That's a public life. If someone to walk in this door and never knew me, and they sat down and listened to a message, they would, in their way of understanding, the way they look at things, they would come to some kind of decision about me, whatever that was. Right? That's the public life. So as we seek to be that living godly witness in this corrupt world, is this world corrupt? Daniel tells us that there is nothing we can do that will go as far in making a difference in this world than living lives of integrity. Don't leave home without it. Now, that's why I titled this message, Don't Leave Home Without It, Without Integrity. Because without it, we can cause a lot of problems. We can cause a lot of problems for a lot of people, not to mention our very selves. So let's talk a little bit more about our private life with God. After the fall of Babylon, Darius the Mede reorganized the kingdom with 120 governors to whom were delegated authority over all local matters. You know the story. Over these 120 governors were three commissioners, I'll just say commissioners, and put in charge of the entire kingdom, three individuals. The king gave thought to setting Daniel over the whole realm at one point. What was it about Daniel that caused him to stand out above all the others? Now, you got to think a little bit here. Daniel was not a Babylonian, right? He was a foreigner. You know, he was a captive, a prisoner. You want to look at it that way, right? And so what was about him that brought him to this attention to be the third in the kingdom, as it were? You know, it was something different about him. And it was his integrity, and it was rooted in his private life with God. That's the only way. Daniel 6:3 says, again, an excellent spirit was in him. Now, where can you get an excellent spirit? There's only one place. It's God, right? That's the only place you can get an excellent spirit. It wasn't what was outside of him. It was what was in him, the Spirit of God. In our fast-paced world of self-promotion and who you know, integrity in the private life is becoming a lost characteristic. Now, let's face it. Newfoundland is not immune to who you know, right? I'm not saying something out of turn here, am I? You know, we all know someone, and, you know, hey, I've been part of that as myself, you know. On the ambulance, you know, you could say, we need to hire someone. And I say, oh, I know someone, you know, that would be good for that role. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you may hire that person, but yet you didn't put it out publicly when you should have. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's not about who you know in that response. It's about knowing God. So it was Daniel's integrity. It wasn't his intelligence. It wasn't his intensity. It wasn't his insight, because he was given a lot of insight by God. Integrity finds its roots in our private world with God, in the secret place where the Christ life replaces the self life. The Bible says that Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. It simply means that the Spirit of God dominated his life, right? We are beings who live in a body that is deteriorating and will one day go back to the dust. All of you folks here, the younger generation, the super younger generation, can't really understand that right now, but most of us here realize, yeah, we're getting older, you know? And you can't stop the flow of time, right? You just can't. You know, you can try. People have spent their whole lives trying to reverse the aging process, and with very little success, because someday they're going to be dust, right? You know, there was a time, I'm sort of digressing a little bit, there was a time when I started getting gray hair, and guess what? I dyed my hair, right? And one day, someone said, what are you dyeing your hair for? Right? I said, well, you know, I'm getting older. I don't want to look old. Right? He said, dyeing your hair ain't going to make you look any younger. It's going to make you look fake. You know, I'm not saying the ladies dye your hair. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying personally, that's what happened to me. Right? So I stopped dyeing my hair, and so I am who I am today, standing in front of you, a gray-haired man. All right. So what's that? Almost white. I remember an old commercial back, The Man from Glad. You remember that one? White-haired guy. I know. But I'm okay with it. I'm all right with it. There's a devotional book, My Life Today. It says this: truthfulness and integrity are attributes of God, and he who possesses these qualities possesses a power that is invincible. Invincible. And the only way you can be invincible is with the power of God. Amen? It's the only way. There are two primary tests which come our way in life, and how much to do with revealing what is truly in our private life. One of the tests is adversity. Who here has faced adversity in their life? And the other is the test of prosperity. Daniel faced both of them in chapter 6 and passed with flying colors because of the strength of his inner character with life and life with God. We have often heard architects and engineers and builders say the building has structural integrity. So when let's talk about the Empire State Building, right? Because that's a big building, or the CN Tower, or whatever. And so you walk by that building and say, man, that's a massive building. That's awesome. You know, just how that thing stands up, and all the wind, all the elements, it doesn't fall down. But it says, that the building has structural integrity. How do you know it has structural integrity? You're walking by it, you're assuming it has structural integrity, but how do you know it? You have to go inside the building and go down to the foundations, right? And there you will see the integrity, the structural integrity, on the inside, not on the outside. The Lord Jesus addressed this point at the end of his famous Sermon on the Mount when he spoke about the wise builder who built his home on the foundation of solid rock. He was speaking of the man of integrity, right? And when an inquirer responded as to the meaning of the solid foundation, our Lord replied in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, in other words, a man of integrity, and which built his house upon a rock. And the rock is Jesus Christ. The wise man obviously had integrity because he was rooted and grounded in the saving power of Jesus Christ. That's number one. Our private life with God. How about number two? Integrity is reflected in our personal life. Now, this is the life that we have, that we interact with our closest family members and perhaps a few close friends, right? What about Daniel's personal life? Daniel had an inner circle of close and personal friends, not the least of which were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Time and again, his integrity was reflected in relationship with those who knew him best. It was reflected in front of those who saw him in his most personal moments. I had to reflect on that myself. His personal life was one of purity and transparency. According to Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, he was faithful and there was no error or fault found in him, according to his public personal life. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, this is quite a statement. Daniel's word was his bond, and he could be depended on. He could be depended on. So whatever he said, he followed through. Whatever he said, he did. He didn't try to, portray things in sort of a way that was pleasing to an individual, and so they could go on their merry way, and then he'd go do something else, right? I mean, that wasn't his way. Listen to Paul. In Galatians 2:14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, this is an opposite of what Daniel was, okay? But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now that sounds confusing, but it's really not confusing. Let me lay it out there. So what happened was, Peter was eating with the Gentiles. That's what was going on. Peter was having a meal with the Gentiles. He was supping with them. And he was at one with them. He was conversing with them. He was interacting with them. They were having a fine conversation. He was having a fine conversation with them. Back and forth, and all was good. And then all of a sudden, a few of his brethren happened to walk by, and they saw Peter with these Gentiles. Now, the history is the Israelites wanted nothing to do with the Gentiles because they felt that they were so far away from God there was no hope for them. Now, we know that's not true. But, you know, but when his brethren came near, guess what Peter's reaction was? I gotta get away from these people now because they're gonna see that I'm interacting. They're gonna think I'm part of them now, or they think that I compromised or something, right? So that he's trying to get away, right? And so Paul rebuked Peter publicly. He said, "You can't do that, brother. That is not showing integrity." You know. So this is why Paul said what he said in Galatians 2:14. In other words, be a man or woman of God that does not try to be something they are not. Right? So I had to reflect on that as well. Am I sometimes portraying myself as someone I am not? Back to Daniel 6. An interesting thing develops here. Those who were in competition, those who were self-promoters and protecting their own turf, became quite uncomfortable when someone with integrity came upon the scene. So Daniel, with all of his integrity, and he was upright, he was standing, he was firm, he was kind, you know, he was generous, he was all those wonderful characteristics, but they couldn't stand the ground he walked on. They actually despised him and wanted to get rid of him, actually get him killed, get him out of the way, because he brought reproach upon them. Because they didn't have integrity, because they didn't have the attributes of God, and they were found out. It was quite evident. But they hatched this plan. They, you know, in our day, we would call them, secret agents, right? So they go up and they try to find what's wrong with him, and try to find some fault with him, and, put hidden cameras around or hidden microphones and see if they could find something that he would say or do in private in his personal life that would bring reproach upon his character. Couldn't find a thing. Daniel 6:4, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel's life matched his lips. Matched his lips. So, you know, the world is a very sufficient judge of our conduct. Right? It is. The world's a very sufficient judge of our conduct. I tried to put myself in Daniel's shoes. You know, I encourage all of you to put yourself in Daniel's shoes. In this situation, if you were in Daniel's shoes, would you conduct yourself the same way that Daniel did? You know, I don't want to hear what your answer is. I know what my answer was in my mind. And I personally feel I still have a way to go, right? Just being honest. But at least we need to be cognizant of it. You know, at least we need to be aware of it and ask God to do something about it in our lives and act upon it, right? Would my life measure up to the scrutiny and surveillance that Daniel went through in Daniel 6, especially those who were so filled with jealousy and animosity toward him? Self-examination often gets the root of a relationship with Jesus, doesn't it? It really do. And actually, you know, Jesus asks us to self-examine ourselves every time. There's nothing wrong with it. That's a good thing. These evildoers now devised a plot to entrap him. They said in Daniel 6:5, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." All right? So now God was brought into the question. God was brought into the picture. God was going to be marginalized, and God was going to be attacked through Daniel, through them persecuting Daniel. I'll add that. Thus they came to King Darius with a proposal. They brought to the king the plan that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast in the den of lions. In fact, they reported to the king that all the governors of the kingdom, remember, all the governors of the kingdoms, had consulted together to establish this royal statute. That was a lie. They did not consult all the governors of the kingdom. Why? You know why? Because Daniel knew nothing about it. So they had consulted all the governors. Daniel would have known. So that was a lie. All had not agreed. In fact, Daniel, you know, let's put it this way. The plan was to make King Darius God for a month. That was their plan. And it's no different today. They appealed to the king's own ego and got him to make a law according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. So Daniel, when he heard these words, said, "Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. You know, I'm pretty good. You know, I got it all together. I'm the king of this kingdom. So, why not? I am God. I am God. So basically, he agreed to it. He couldn't go back from it because when the law was established, the king could not reverse it. So they sought to put man in God's place, and this is a sin in our day. This was Babylon's sin. This was Rome's sin as the Caesar became known as Lord, and the same sin abounds today by worshiping politicians and celebrities. So if you find yourself worshiping politicians and celebrities, read Daniel 6, because the Bible tells us not to do it. Because they're just men. They're just women. You know, they may have good attributes. They may have good things. They're good, something good about them. But they're not God. And ultimately, when the rubber hits the road, they'll probably lead you astray somehow. Right? So the decree was made. What will Daniel do now? Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God and did afford as he did aforetime, as he did before. His integrity, which was rooted in his private world with God, is now reflected in his personal world. Daniel simply kept his personal schedule. Consistency was his theme. He went about his prayer time as was his custom since early days. He didn't change. Daniel did not change one thing about his lifestyle, even amidst persecution. Can you believe it? All he had to do to save his skin was to stop praying openly. That's all he had to do. All he had to do was stop praying openly. He could have said to himself, you know, I am going to go into my room. You know, God knows my heart. I don't have to kneel in front of an open window as I did before. And, you know, I'll pray to God. He'll hear me. He'll hear what I have to say. And that way, you know, I won't be persecuted and I can still do the things for God in this foreign land. You know, could he have justified that? Absolutely. He could have justified it, but he didn't. He could have reasoned in his heart. But Daniel was consistent. He was Daniel, man of God. He knelt. We should be so deeply impressed at how Daniel got on his knees to pray amidst open persecution. Are we willing to do that? You know, are we willing to do that? I'm so thankful there's a pattern for us here to follow. This is the mark of a man or woman of integrity. What he was in his personal life is what he is in his private life with God. Those who are inconsistent with convictions will never be known as people of integrity. That's a big statement. That's a big statement. I'll say it again. Those who are inconsistent with convictions will never be known as people of integrity. They can't be. Because integrity is all about consistency with God. Number three, integrity is reinforced in our professional life. So each of us has some form of professional life, okay? So what about it? If integrity is in fact rooted in the private world with God, it will be reflected in the personal world and thus reinforced in the professional world. I think most of us here have worked in the professional field somewhere along the way. I don't mean doctors and nurses necessarily, but, you know, it could be working at a gas station. It could be, you know, whatever it is, working at McDonald's, working at as a teacher, you know, working in the hospitals, whatever it is, you know. It's a professional world. Now, note that as Daniel's jealous peers sought to find fault with him, they sought to find it concerning the kingdom. What kingdom? That is, They tried to find fault with Daniel with his God in their kingdom. Okay? Their kingdom was Babylon. Right? So they tried to find fault with Daniel through his relationship with God, but how it impacted their kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon. In other words, the government affairs of his professional life. They could find nothing wrong with Daniel in the discharge of his duties. Proverbs 26:7, a part of our scripture reading, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Integrity is reinforced on the trial of personal experience in the workplace. Now who here has worked and not been under trial? Be honest. You know? There, at some time or some place, some trial came your way because you worked in a a secular job, and every one of us has had secular jobs, I'm assuming, at some point. And nothing wrong with it. You have to work. You got to maintain, right, your family and stuff. But who here has been under attack at various different points as they worked? You know, it could be, you know, some innuendo or slight of, slight of character comments or, you know what I'm trying to say? But, you know, integrity, though, in the workforce is hard to find. You know, if you were to ask managers or owners of businesses what the hardest thing is in managing their business, it's finding good, solid people to work. People of integrity. People who will do a full day's work for a full day's pay. They say that, I was looking at some statistics and stuff, I didn't bring them with me, but just top of my head. They say that, you know, the hardest thing to find is people who are willing to do that kind of integrity in their job, of, you know, work diligently. The Bible says a lot about working diligently, right? It says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, which means, singleness means sincerity. So you work for an employer, you are to be sincere, you know? You're not to take an extra long break because you feel you deserve it, you know? You're not to try to get away with stuff. And some of you say, you shouldn't even be taking pencils and pens home, you know, because that's stealing, right? You know, I don't know. Is it stealing? Does it belong to you? Well, technically, no. So I guess it is stealing. But, you know, how we conduct ourselves in our public life is how we are with God, right? So, you know, we come to church and we're portraying a certain way, and we go in the business field and we're portraying another way, then that's walking between two masters, right? And we know the Bible says you can't walk between two masters. There's no such thing. You're either walking one way or the other, all right? So, but anyway, men and women of integrity are characterized in the workplace by obedience, That doesn't mean you have to be a slave. There are places sometimes in the workforce that you are treated unfairly. And, you know, that needs to be addressed. But back in the good old days, as they say, you know, someone went to work and they put in a full 8 hour, or probably 16 hours a day, I don't know, worked like Trojans for their pay. But they didn't find it a burden, though, either. So remember, they could find no charge or fault in Daniel in anything, in the workplace, in his public life, his private life, because he was faithful. One of the problems, especially in North America today, is leisure time. There are many who are quick to remember the Sabbath, but forget that the Bible also says, 6 days shalt thou work and do all thy work. Right? So, Sabbath is important, but 6 days of work is important too. You know? Now, I'm not saying there are people out there who can't work because of, you know, medical ailments or physical disabilities. I understand. I'm not painting everyone with the same brush. I'm just being general. I'm generalizing here. When you show up for work on time, give an honest day of work, are loyal to your employer, you are doing what you ought to do as a Christian. Right? We ought to be extra loyal, extra enthusiastic, extra hardworking, and that includes those who have been called to pastoral ministry. We all ought to be the second modelers about whom Jesus spoke in Matthew 5:41. What's 5:41 say? And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him, twain, or go with him 2 miles, or go with him 5 miles. Go with him as long as it's necessary to get him to where he needs to be. Right? Go the extra mile. This is Christian integrity being reinforced in the professional life. The best way integrity can be reinforced on the job is to give a full day's work, and there's no doubt about that. And like Daniel, there should be found no charge or fault in us. Paul says in Ephesians 6:6 that we are to serve our employers not with eye service or men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So what that means is in our human understanding or human language, we're not to be brown nosers. Okay, that is you know what I mean by brown nosers, right? Does everyone here know what I mean by that? Shake your head yes if you don't understand. Okay. I want to know because I don't want to just say something and people are saying, well, I'm not really sure what he's saying. But yeah, we're not to be brown nosers and try to get, you know, little favors here and there and try to overstep someone else's role or whatever. You know, we're to do our job and do it as the will of God from the heart. So as followers of Christ, we are serving the Lord, whether we work in the sawmill, the service station, the high-rise office building, assembly line, a hospital, an ambulance, right? Whatever you're doing, behind a desk in some office. As believers, we are on our honor. We're on our honor. We are representing Christ. We are representing Jesus Christ wherever we go. Can you imagine what would happen in the world if believers in the workplace began to capture the motto that Daniel had? There'd be an awesome transformation, wouldn't there? If people are ever to be addressed and transformed, it must take place not only in church, but in the workplace. Our greatest opportunity to make a difference and engage the world is at the same place as it was in Babylon, believe it or not. Right? In everyday lives of everyday people. That's how change will happen in their lives. There's a very small percentage of our communities in church on any given Sabbath morning, right? So we look down here now and we can count everyone that's here. But by and large, if you look at our community or look at surrounding areas and other churches, the same thing. You know, there's very little respect for church things or people of God. Men and women with integrity become salt and light every day, everywhere they are. And that's the way it needs to be. So who made a difference here in Babylon in the days of Daniel? The preachers only who came into exile? No. The laymen as well. Men like Daniel, civil servants, politicians, people like Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah in the Bible? Faithful laymen who reinforce their integrity in the world around them. Integrity is the most important ingredient we can have in engaging our world. Integrity. Don't leave home without it. And the final point. Integrity is revealed in our public life. And I basically mentioned that a little bit already about as a head elder, I'm up here speaking to you. And someone comes in from the door, doesn't know me, and they get a snapshot, an instant snapshot of who I may be and what they see. But Daniel's commitment was not something he compartmentalized on Sabbath and left in the box from Sunday through Friday, right? He didn't come to church and say, okay, this is church, right? And then when I step out the doors, okay, now this is my life now. The Bible doesn't say that. You know, the Bible says Daniel was this way on the Sabbath, and he was the same way outside that box, right? Daniel 6:23, so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. So here was a man of God who was persecuted. He was a business administrator, a politician, if you please, who because of his integrity was rooted in his private life with God, is now revealed in his public life. Once he was thrust into the public life, it is too late to look for integrity if we don't already have it. Right? You have to have the integrity before you leave home. That's why the message of the title of the sermon today. What he was in private with God was revealed in public. Why was Daniel delivered from the lion's den? And we'll close shortly. Why was Daniel delivered from the lion's den? Why? You know, it's a profound story in Daniel chapter 6. It really is. Daniel was thrown in the midst of a den of hungry lions, but he slept like a baby that night. He slept like a baby. King Darius was up all night worried for Daniel. Because I suspect King Darius, well, I knew, King Darius made a mistake. You know, he made a decree, but he couldn't go back on it now because that was the law. And he was afraid for Daniel. And he was hoping, you know, let's put it this way. If anyone else was thrown in that lion's den, one of his, you know, governors was thrown, do you think he'd be concerned that he'd be alive the next day? Because he would know he would not be alive. There wouldn't be any question. Those lions would tear him to part. And he knew that because they were hungry. But he must have had some glimpse of Daniel's God to have a glimmer of hope and faith that Daniel was alive when he came running to the lion's den and yelling out, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Wasn't that powerful? So Darius had a glimpse of Daniel's God, and he was hoping that God would deliver him, and he did. Do you think that had an impact on Darius? You better believe it. Daniel awakens. You know, he rubs his eyes. You know, Darius woke him up. from a sound sleep, right? Stretches out his arms, wipes the lion's hair off his head, you know? That's okay. For the lion was Daniel's pillow, right? He's lying on the pillow, and he get up, and all this lion's hair is all over the place, you know? So he wipes that off, right? Right? O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in him, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So basically Daniel's saying, you thrust me in this prison, I didn't do anything wrong, right? I had faith in my God that God would deliver me. I rested in peace in these kitty cats, and you woke me up from a sound sleep, and now I'm here to tell you and to testify that my God is able to save to the uttermost. Amen? Daniel's faith won the victory. The Bible says he was delivered because he believed in his God. You know, it's one thing to face adversity when we're done wrong. It's another to face it when we've done right. And that's an experience I had these past couple of weeks. Daniel did not panic. He simply kept his faith in God. This is the mark of true integrity that is rooted in the private world with God. Some people like Daniel pay a big price for doing the right thing. Paul listed the heroes of our faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and although Daniel is not mentioned specifically, he's there. You know why I know he's there? Because it says this, Hebrews 11:33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Amen? Daniel's God is our God. We can be so excited about that. Daniel's God is our God. Amen? Now note the outcome of the experience of the lion's den. Daniel did not take credit for the victory either. That's a man of integrity. That's a man of integrity. He was quick to say it. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. Thus, King Darius, what did he do? Well, he didn't leave it there. Well, he made a decree. And he knew this decree wasn't going to be reversed either. And it set the example for the rest of his kingdom. I'll read it. Daniel 6:25-28. Unto all people, nations, and remember now, this is a decree. Unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. You think he would have said that without knowing a glimmer of Daniel's God? Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Isn't that prophetic? Do you think God gave him that? That was a little prophecy in there. Even unto the end. He delivered and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who had delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. It's amazing. You know, the story is amazing. It brings chills to me every time. You know, seriously, it's an amazing story. The world stops to take notice of the man or woman of integrity. Integrity is revealed in the public life sooner or later. This is always true. So, what's the lesson? The lesson is you can't fake it. You can't fake integrity. I don't remember the expression, but someone said it to me. You can fool some of the people. Can someone say it? Anyone know? You can fool some of the people some of the time and say it again, Howard? You can't fool all the people all the time. Someday you're going to be found out. You're going to be found out. Not that none of us here have integrity. I'm not saying that. But after this message, if we find ourselves self-examining, as I have done, and we find ourselves, wanting, as it were, as we look over the scriptures, right? Then it's not too late to do something about it. You know, if Daniel can do it, Daniel's just a man. That's all. And sometimes we can put Daniel on a pedestal and say, he was a godly man and all that. Well, he was, but where did it start? It started with his personal relationship with God. Just between him and God. Not between anyone else. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've done, you know, whatever things, heinous things you may have done, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Because God sees all, knows all. He wants to be your God. That's how much he loves you. So in closing, I'll say this. The world we live in today, with all of its contemporary allurements and pitfalls, brings a new challenge to our Christian faith. They really do. Daniel was a young man who grew up like many of us, rooted in a society of traditional family values. Right? One day, also like us, he unexpectedly found himself in a place or situation that was foreign to everything that he had ever known. His value system, his claims on truth, his moral compass was challenged repeatedly at every single turn while he was in Babylon. His world revolved around a world of different and alternate belief systems, and yes, even paganism. But Daniel had a different spirit in him. He was a man of integrity who not only addressed his world in Babylon, but also engaged it, and he influenced it for good. Daniel's God is our God. The challenge to us is to, and you're going to remember these words, because they're a children's song. Dare to be a Daniel, right? Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. We teach our kids to dare to be a Daniel. It's not too late for us if we find ourselves lacking in this area. Integrity. Don't leave home without it. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious words of life. Oh Lord, as we have reread the story of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den. Father, I know one thing. My heart has been changed by re-examining this story, by searching this story for a little deeper understanding of what it meant for Daniel to stand firm, to have that integrity that only he could have from you. And Lord, it is my prayer that each and everyone here in this sanctuary, or anyone who may be listening online, that they will take this story, that they will examine their hearts, and that they will allow Jesus to change them where needed. That we may all be men and women of integrity for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to learn at your feet. In Jesus' precious name, amen.